Siddharameshwar Maharaj said, "You must have the conviction that it is only you who is existing and appearing in and as all beings." I'll repeat it. You must have the conviction that it is only you who is existing and appearing in and as all beings. Now, how is that possible? Because there are people who we don't get along with. How is it possible that I am appearing in and as all beings? Not possible. The ego is unable to digest this statement. The person who has troubled me most in my life, how could I appear as him or her? And then there comes a time when you are dealing with this person. This person is in front of you, saying what they have always said, pushing your buttons like they've always pushed your buttons. And then that time comes when you see this person is only playing out their script, which was written by God. You just look at that person and your knowing inside is, this person cannot help being who they are. They simply cannot help it. And the whole thought process now changes. You may ask yourself, this person to say such nasty things, to trouble me so much, what must this person be actually suffering? And compassion may arise. You may feel it in the heart, a feeling you never had before for such a person, because you judged and condemned and blamed this person for taking away your peace. Now something changes. You see, you have your own patterns and flaws which you have tried your best to change over the course of time, but have not been able to the extent you would like to. A feeling of helplessness arises. Someone asked me this question 2 days ago. I preferred the time when I was ignorant. Now I know my patterns. I try my best to change them, but I'm unable to. So it's more frustrating. Better that I didn't know about all these things. But you see, the problem with the life of ignorance is you can create tremendous suffering for others. Now a sensitivity has come in, an acknowledgement of the fact that all I can do is try and keep trying. And if I feel so helpless, what this other person must also be feeling deep down. Then you feel that perhaps if God gave me a certain nature, a set of life experiences since childhood, the certain conditioning this person received at home, at school, in society, maybe I would say the same things. Yet, I must do what I think and feel I should do with this person who's troubling me, pushing my buttons. That is life. But now I find that rather than reacting, I'm responding more objectively, because a gap has been created. And where I find that I'm still reacting, because I habitually react, very soon I find that involvement is cut off by the understanding which comes. So I'm no longer involved in that reaction like I used to be. We are human beings. There is no model of perfection out there. We will make the same mistakes. If we keep falling, keep getting up, so be it. But now with one distinction, now I know where my peace of mind is to be found. Not in the flow of life. Impossible. Life will keep showing me that. It is not to be found in the flow of life. It can only be found in my attitude to life. My relationship with life. Not just my relationship with people. My relationship with events that happen in my life, my relationship with my own mind. But the ego does not like peace of mind. It loves disturbance, agitation, because then it knows this is who I am. It really sounds odd, doesn't it? Because peace of mind is the absence of the thinking mind of the ego. If I don't exist in that sense, if my thinking mind is shut down, who am I? Panic. Then I will keep creating loops in my relationships, in happenings with life, where I re-identify with everything again and again and again, because that is the ground of the familiar. I'm not familiar with deep sleep because it is my absence. Each relationship is an opportunity to realize that nobody is the doer of their actions. Very humbling, because now the ego can't blame and point fingers anymore. That game is over. And so you find that in your heart, you might just wish the troublemaker of your life deep peace. May peace find you too. I really wish you well, deep down. You see, the Nath yogis greet each other with the term Alakh Niranjan, which reminds them of the one consciousness which is formless. So everything is the world of form, and we forget the Nirgun Brahman. So their greeting is Alakh Niranjan. That was, you could say, Nisargadatta Maharaj's teaching was the same. I am that. Now, my teacher, being a banker, said, that's all right. I've understood I am that. But I am living in this. And that is everyone. The manifestation is a reflection of the source, not apart from it. The manifestation, the manifest world as we see it, is a reflection of the source within itself, not outside itself. Because if it was outside itself, then there are two. And all there is the source. Which brings us to Sagun Brahman, with form, Brahman form. So the point was, I may have the highest realizations of the formless consciousness, but my daily living can be a mess. My relationships can be a mess. Is your relationship apart from God? Can anything be apart from God? So then that is not integration. Integration is both. When I see the hand of God behind everyone, behind all events in my life, the one behind the many, and that transforms my relationship with people, then that realization is being lived in daily living. When that translation does not happen, I can continue being mean to people, taking away their peace of mind, and I have the Nirgun Brahman realization. Does that make sense? Can I continue being a pest to specific people in my life? Is anything apart from God? You see, this integration is so crucial. Now, how does it translate? Let's take the example of Ramana Maharshi. How does the highest realization translate in relationships? When someone brought him food, sweets, and prasad, he looked at it, looked around the room, and then told this person, please split this up into the exact number of pieces as there are people in this room, so that everyone gets a piece of it. That is the translation. Actions do speak louder than words, because it is a lived realization. Consciousness is all there is, okay, but it is you, me, he, and she. The yogis are no fools. They may have the highest realizations, but the one who is integrated, you will see that whoever comes to him or her is treated equally. They may have their favorites, but no one is treated less. I had gone to someone's home in what would be considered an unsafe part of Kashmir. Just recently I went there. I was very keen on meeting this fairly young fakir in his early 50s. And I was taken there by one local driver, and we had a tough time finding his place because he's not poor, but in a makeshift kind of hutment. And he's a carpenter by profession. And so when we entered his room, normally they have one carpet and cushions. They have no furniture. So I was sitting with him. The driver was waiting outside. His daughter came and laid out a carpet and put biscuits and cakes and teas. And after 10 minutes, the fakir realized that the driver was not there. And he sent the daughter to call the driver and profusely apologized. And we sat together, the driver, me, and one very poor person was walking past and obviously knew him, called him also, made him also sit. Because if you lived the realization that the same consciousness is speaking through some people and listening through the others, then could there be anything else but this sense of felt oneness with being? Cannot be. That is why I say you may find that someone you have an argument with yesterday, you may just have this feeling and call the person up and say, hey, let's go and have a chai together. And you will shock yourself because you realize that in my ignorance and suffering, I completely wasn't even open to seeing all the good points of this person. There's so many nice things about this person. Such qualities which perhaps I wished I had. The same person who's the source of trouble for me has good points too. And you tell this person, come, let's just enjoy, let's enjoy each other's company. Let's keep our opinions aside, our worldviews, whatever it be. Let's enjoy each other. Then after we have tea, we can go back to fighting. But the ego cannot handle that. Because once it's identified with the position, it won't let go. It's dug its heels in. Now what happens? My favorite obsession was with myself. And all my views, judgments, beliefs. Now that's gone out of the window. All that occupied so much space in my mind, and my mind kept churning round and round and round and round. It's gone. The churning of the mind is gone. And I find, because my mind is now more silent than it used to be, I am more present for the present moment. I am more available. Earlier I was unavailable. Now I am more available. I am more available to the divinity that is around me. And then I understand the Buddha's words. Samsara is dukkha, nirvana is shanti, and they are not two. Samsara is dukkha. You can see it on some people's faces. The sadness of their life's experiences is visible. Some people have been allotted more pain in life than others. Why? We don't know. And the sage comes along to say this to the person. Samsara is dukkha. Nirvana is peace. And they are not two. We can find it through the journey of life. When I am no longer polarized by life's extremes, and I understand this is the dance of duality, I understand that a so-called good person is good because of God's will, and a so-called bad person is bad also because of God's will. One polarity. Likewise with all dualities in life. The successful person is successful because of God's will. The failed person who's a failure, also God's will. This person must have tried their best, but the result was not in their hands. So all these labels of duality lose their meaning pleasure and pain. When I know that the design of life is pleasure one moment, pain the next, I stop wishing and wanting and demanding that life give me only pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Because then I'm creating more suffering for myself. When I accept this is the duality of life, sometimes pleasure, sometimes pain, or as my teacher would say, sometimes pleasure, many times pain. But when I accept this is the design of life, then those dualities also lose their meaning. And then I am walking what is called the Buddha's middle path. When I am not polarized, I am walking the middle path. Not too loose, not too tight. I remember a song, I forget who the singer was. The name of the song was Say Goodbye to It All. And one finds that one says goodbye to it all. Goodbye to the old game I was playing, which I derived my sense of self from. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Which means, as long as one's mind is stayed on individuals, having done things, there is no perfect peace. But the minute that shift happens, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That is perfect peace. When you live this realization that each piece on the chessboard of your life is moved by a hand above it, you are at peace. Hurt may arise. We are human beings. Hurt may arise. But since there is nobody to blame, my peace is not disturbed. I met someone who remarked that the last time they met me, for 2 weeks, they were a different person and everything was beautiful. And people were telling him, what has happened? You have changed. And he could see things. And then, unfortunately, after 2 weeks, everything came back to what it was. So his feeling was, I lost that. I said, you didn't lose it. That cannot be lost. That is the absence of the thinking mind. That field is there till your last breath. It is pure presence. What has happened? The old patterns, the old conditioning, because it is hardwired, is coming back. It takes time. What my teacher would have called a free sample was given to him. But the problem with the free sample, the problem with the experience is the ego wants more. Because it feels it got that experience. You see how the ego is? The absence of the thinking mind of the ego was not the ego's doing. Now there's frustration. The ego will not give up control. Old patterns take time. Old ways of thinking, old habits, old conditioning. Some people are fortunate. There's a radical transformation when they come to the teaching. It just completely a new person is born. But generally, it takes time for the new conditioning to override the old conditioning. Because it's a new way of living life, a new way I experience events in my life, people in my life, compared with what was happening earlier. Takes time. Would anyone like to share anything or ask anything?
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for today's talk, and it's very important.
You've been here before?
Never. My wife has been here.
What's your name?
Rohit.
From Bombay. Your wife forced you to come here?
No, she did not.
No?
I came on my own. And I think it was important to hear this.
What do you do?
I work in the aviation sector.
Aviation. And have you had any interest in the spiritual journey at all or not much?
Yes. That has helped me through childhood. And
So
it has kept...
Been part of your life. Nice.
Not in the religious sense, but more in a spiritual sense. And this was very important.
You see, everything happens at the appointed time.
Yes. It was like a missing link which just clicked in.
And only gratitude can arise to that one force. Anything you'd like to share?
It's something I read in a book. Maybe I can say that. It's not important what happens to you, but what is important, how you react to it. It's a book called Road Less Traveled. It's in there. I always remember that for many years.
You see, and the beauty of this teaching is, it shows us that our reactions were not ours in the first place. It is the way we were designed. So that guilt drops away when I understand this. That everything is precisely the way it has been designed by a higher power. Now, because I have that understanding, I am able to see more clearly when reactions happen, how they happen, why they happen. Sometimes I can help it, sometimes I can't. But that pressure is no longer on me to become a better person. I leave that to God. And more importantly, I realize now when other people react, they are equally helpless. This is what the Maya is. So I start seeing things both ways. Not just my tunnel vision. I really start seeing things from someone else's point of view. Like, for example, let's say God made me a generous person and I find someone else I know is a miser. Now, with this understanding that the miser didn't choose to be the miser, the generous person didn't choose to be the generous person. Now, when this kind of understanding kicks in, reactions change. The miser, I have the understanding, may be a miser with money, but may be very generous with his time. Now I'm open to see even that. Maybe one aspect is there, but there's this beauty. This person is always available when I say, let's meet for dinner, let's meet for lunch. Is that person a miser? Is there anything more valuable than one's time? The person who is giving their time is the most generous person. Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj would have satsangs twice a day. They were being generous with their time. Time is very precious. Here today, gone tomorrow. You have been coming here for some time?
I have come for like 2-3 times.
And what is your background in terms of a spiritual journey?
I've always been interested in the spiritual side. Same, like not the religious so much, but like since the past 1 year, I've read a lot of stuff on Ramana Maharshi, and a challenging thing happened in my life. Like my mom was detected with third stage brain tumor. That was last year. And in the course of time, after 9 months, she passed away. So I've been looking at this Advaita teaching and trying to understand, because this is something which has come very new in my life, this form of teaching. Otherwise, I've been following various philosophies, you can say. So, and it's difficult to like the ego, if we can say, or whatever. Even if you understand it somewhere, you're like, I don't understand this, I want to know more.
But did you find a sense of peace in what you discovered on Advaita? And
it's definitely giving answers to some questions which I faced during my mother's fight with cancer, I guess. So that's how I turned to this teaching, trying to find some answers.
Yes, to this real puzzle of life and suffering. That's what life is about. You see, I mentioned once there was one devotee of Ramana Maharshi's who thought, you know, I've been coming here for so long to him, to his satsangs, being with him, but I don't understand a word of what he's saying and all this stuff about the self and all that. So I'm not going to go anymore. So he stops going. And 1 month passes, 2 months pass, and he just says, I'm done. Then 3 months pass. But now he's missing the satsang. He can't control, he wants to go back, you know, but he knows he's not getting anything. So he goes to Ramana Maharshi. And Ramana Maharshi, when he sees him, tells him, after 100 days you have come. And he had come precisely on the 100th day. He could abstain for 99 days. He was keeping count. He said, please forgive me, but the reason I didn't come was because of this. I'll be honest with you. And he said, that's all right. You didn't get the teaching or whatever was being spoken. But more importantly, did you feel the loss? Did you feel the loss? That feeling is what brought him back. The mind could not figure out things, but the heart knew where its peace was, and it could not resist that anymore. It got pulled. So peace is always the criteria, because one is at rest. When you stop trying to make sense of life, because it doesn't make sense, you are at peace. Because the mind tries to make sense. Everything has to connect. All the dots have to connect. Every cause has to have an effect. That is the way the left brain is structured. Analytical, logical. Nothing makes sense anymore. Then I'm at peace. Because there's no demand for life to make sense. There's no demand. So by and by, I start finding my way to this peace. And then I find that peace is finding its way to me.
My tryst with Gautamji started on 12th of Jan this year. Push my button relationship with my brother last 15 years. Both ways, both playing the tennis match. Aggressive tennis. Better than Agassi and everybody. So we parted business ways in 2015, sold all our factories. Then the buttons got pushed even harder, how to share it. You see, the one step was taken to part ways. Then the buttons got pushed even harder. 12th of Jan was when I discovered, now I have been lucky, very lucky. Suddenly I started realizing that I am one of the very, very lucky guys who picked it up. Maybe providence, God, whatever, I could pick up the deeper meaning of the understanding very fast. So this 15-year hate and tennis match relationship with my elder brother, a month earlier I called him up. We fixed up every Wednesday, we meet. I told him every Wednesday, would he like to meet at the golf club for Pudina Chai and Pakoras? There was actually a 15-20 second silence on the phone. I just smiled. He's saying, yes, I'd love it. Last 4 Wednesdays, we are meeting, nobody else. I said, there are only 2 rules. No controversies, no past, no future. So every Wednesday, we sit at the golf club, have chai, pakoras, chicken sandwich, discuss nothing but our childhood days, lovely days at St. Mary's, at this, at that. Now, this Wednesday, he asked me a question. So, Neil, the buzz is you're into a philosophy. So, I said, yes. I didn't mention any details. I said, no controversy. I said, yes, I'm into a philosophy, which has taken very deep roots into my life. So, he says, what is the philosophy? I said, Advaita. He's saying, what is the core of the teaching? Now, I just thought for a second. I said, what is the core of teaching of Advaita to me? I had to express that exactly, answer the question. So I said, it's like this. The core of the teaching is one line, as I understand it. The pendulum remains at the center between pleasure and pain, whatever the situation. I don't think it hit him, or he was wondering what I'm talking about. Because I'd like to just stay, he's converted into Christianity 10, 15 years ago. So I just said, remain still. Times of pain, times of pleasure, pendulum will keep swinging. You have to remain still. That's the core of my teaching. What I'm learning, sorry, not my teaching, what I'm learning the teaching. I sleep by nine, around 9 o'clock, I get a call from him. You're a very different, changed human being, Sunil. I said, thank you. Now, that's very sweet of you. And I think you're a very changed person also. He said, I'm looking forward to next Wednesday. We hung up. Thank you.
Nice, isn't it?
Very simple.
So simple. It's simple.
No complication.
No, I mean, as Ramana Maharshi said, the truth is simple. It is simple. And I just hope the Pudina Chai was good.
Excellent. It was excellent. It's always excellent. But it's very famous. The bar is less crowded than the lounge.
Sure. You know, I am a bit fussy when it comes to tea. And post-COVID, I've been going to the club across the road. Twice a week at least at about 4:35. So the waiters are trained, you know, I like my tea very hot. I don't like it too strong. I like it with little extra milk. So not only that, when I'm halfway through, I send it back for reheating. So they know that also. So one new waiter came. So I said, now dilemma, because the others are used to my whole thing, you know, I don't have to explain anything. So I said, ki aap zara kisi aur ko bula do, Pavan ya Deepak ya jo bhi hai. He said, nahi nahi saab, bas aapka naam hi dene andar to malum hai sabko kaise banane chahiye. Yes, Meenakshi.
Gautam, I wanted to express my deepest gratitude because I could see the teaching in action. Recently, something happened where there was a lot of anger directed towards this. But there was nothing inside this body-mind that was there to accept. Initially, the ego would have bounced back and there would have been a lot of reaction. But this time there was a loving response and it came from a place of understanding. And I felt so much gratitude towards you for bringing so much clarity.
You see, as Goldsmith would say, if someone abused you and at that time you had the full understanding they were abusing God, what reaction would there be? Or if you had the full understanding God was abusing you, would you react? But this is the Maya. The individual person has now stepped in.
This is especially for people who are coming for the first time. Especially when I came to you first in Feb, I was so excited after the second session. I was speaking, I see the YouTubes now and I feel embarrassed. I was so excited. I have absorbed. This is something new. This is changing me. I could feel my thinking, my reaction changing to response. Many times you speak about my point of view is this, don't react. Go with my point of view this. I appreciate your point of view. I was so excited with this teaching. I felt I have landed. Now, there is more excitement in silence.
That is beautiful.
There is more excitement in silence. It's like I said, it's just in the blood now. It is all over the body.
And more importantly, last point for today. Again, it may sound strange. If someone hates you or directs anger towards you, whatever it be, the motivation is love because they love themselves. They are feeling threatened and so this happens. So it's always love. It is always love. Only there is a misperception of love because of the distortion of the ego with its sense of separation. But the motivation is always love. Hard to swallow this point.
Does it make sense to exclude people this way sometimes?
Try it. Try it with the person you want to try it with. You might just get a tight slap.
Yeah. There's a response to that.
But it is true. It is true. See, I love myself. So if I perceive you as a threat to my opinion, my belief, whatever it be, I'm protecting myself. So I start abusing you, wishing harm upon you because I love myself. Only thing what has happened is that myself has become narrow, not myself. That is the difference, but it's still love. It is still love. That is why it is said, if one had the full understanding that consciousness is all there is, you can't hate anyone, because how can consciousness hate anything if consciousness is all there is? There's no question of hate. And similarly, it cannot love anything because its nature is love. It's the default setting because it is all there is. When there's nothing apart from you to love, because you are that in any case, it is one's nature. Everything is love. The rest is a game. Bernard Shaw's play Saint Joan, if you read it, the last scene or whatever you call it, is when all the characters in her life, including herself, are now in heaven. And they are discussing how each played the role that was assigned to them. It's pure Advaita. I mean, you can imagine if you're a young girl in your teenage years and you hear the voice of God saying, go and lead France in the battle. It was her innocence which made her walk into the Dauphin's room. And because they were losing battle after battle after battle, and his general said, what is this young girl talking about? What nonsense is this? And he said, as a young boy, he said, what have we got to lose? We are already losing battle after battle after battle. And they say, all right, go ahead. And she starts, she wins the first battle, wins the second battle, wins the third battle, till the British and the Pope decide she's growing too big for her boots. And so they capture her and put her on trial. For what? Heresy. For what? Because a woman is dressing like a man on the battlefield. That is one of her accusations. And the result? Judgment passed to be burnt at the stake. You think your life is not fair? This young girl tells God, you spoke to me, Archangel Michael. You came into my head. You told me to lead France. You gave me the sword. You made me walk into the Dauphin's room. And this is the result. You want me burnt at the stake because I listened to your voice? Next time we feel life is unfair, let's think about this. And they said, what's done is done. What is your last wish? And in spite of that, she said, my last wish is, the last thing I want to see is a cross before I die. So can someone please hold one up high above, so I can see it above the leaping flames which consume my body. And then the play ends where all the characters, the ones who pronounce judgment, the Dauphin, Joan of Arc, are all up and discussing the role each had to play in the play of life. Now, if we lived this understanding, at the end of each day, whoever I met, whoever I spoke to on the phone, whoever I thought about, if I at the end of the day, just review the day in this light, then it is quite likely that I will have a deeper sleep than I used to.